Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the iconic blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Castos for more episodes.
All right, well, so good morning or good afternoon, depending on what time you're listening to this. My name is Phil Alexander. I'm the Chief Information Security Officer here at North Mississippi Health Services in Tupelo, Mississippi. And this is another installment of our cybersecurity podcast. And hopefully we will provide you some information that you can use not only here at work, if you're working in a corporate setting. We are also publishing this podcast publicly in different places wherever you get your podcast. So we publish it internally here for our employees at North Mississippi Health Services, but we're also doing it on the podcast services out there. So I try to be mindful of the content to not make it just corporate things and so or corporate focused. I think it's important to note that most things today in cybersecurity touch us in every way. It's not just corporate. You know, back in the day, early in the day, the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, for those who remember, you know, there was the term PC and Apple, right? So like, what does PC mean? Personal computer. There used to be business systems, IBM business systems, and then the term PC became popular. And so today we don't even think about PC. You either have an Apple or you have a PC. Well, PC means personal computer, and it used to be business systems. So we've quickly transitioned into personal life as well. So a lot of these are overlapping, and the computer that you use at work probably doesn't look any different than the one you have at home. The phone that maybe have been issued to you for work probably doesn't look much different than the one that you've gotten at home. The email that you use for personal doesn't look much different than the one you have at home. So or for work and home, they're about the same. So a lot of the same threats and risk are the same as well. So it's important that we all know. We've all turned into geeks, whether we like it or not. Everybody's a nerd now. We all have technology in our pockets and on our wrist, and so we have to know. So today's episode, we're going to talk about the number one way in which hackers are making money, the number one way hackers are getting into organizations, the number one way hackers are getting into your social media or getting into your email, getting into your phone. People are like, how did they hack my Facebook? How did they get into this company and steal all this information, or ransomware? Some sophisticated weapon they're using, and it's not. It's called phishing. P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, phishing. And basically, they're just trying to get you to bite. They're trying to get you to bite on some juicy morsel, right? So we're going to talk about a little bit. This is going to be very short and very quick. I just wanted a bite-sized piece of information around phishing. We continue to struggle with it as an organization, as every organization does. I think we do a really good job educating our folks. I think a lot of our folks do a really good job identifying and catching those phishing emails as they come in. We block a lot, thousands of those emails every week, but some of them get in. You have Gmail, Yahoo, AOL, whatever you use personally, that are blocking a lot of those phishing emails, but some of those get through. You need to be aware and vigilant on what they look like. So let me tell real quick what is phishing and what is not. What is not spam and it's not junk. So we have people who report them, and that's fine, but we have people who report sales pitches, right? So the vendors will send these sales emails, unsolicited sales pitches through email. Those are not phishing. Those are just junk or spam. And so those aren't phishing, but sometimes it's hard to tell which is which, right? So it's just best to report them or delete, whether it's phishing or junk, just get rid of them. Phishing, a lot of times they play on your emotion. These hackers are trying to play on your emotion. They you know, it's something about money. We saw one yesterday that kind of blew up around payroll, right? And a lot of people got upset because, oh my goodness, a change in payroll, and it wasn't real, but it's right here. Today's payroll day, right? It's payday. And so it's that yesterday, phishing email gets through and talk about payroll, and most people, they're thinking about payday. And so it's easy for them to catch you because it's an emotional attachment to money. It could be something about death. It could be all kinds of stuff, but it's an emotional thing. You're going to lose your access if you don't do this. We're going to close your bank account. We're going to do X, Y, Z. So it's an emotional thing. And when you have emotion, what we don't realize a lot of times is when you're emotional, there's a physiological reaction, and so it clogs your brain sometimes, and you can't be rational. You don't even. Somebody brought me that email yesterday, and was just completely missed all the misspellings, the poor grammar. I mean, where it come from? They honed in on one word, payroll. Everything else they missed. Because, and this was a very smart person, and normally they get all of them. They missed it, and it was because of the fact that that emotion clogged their brain, clogged the rationale. Their eyes just glazed over as they thought, I'm not going to get paid tomorrow. And so it's important that we understand that and we be vigilant whenever there's an emotional attachment to these emails. Phishing scams, statistics for 2023, I was reading some the other day, and it was talking about that that users open only 3% of their spam emails. 3% of spam, those spams were, while they open 70% though of the, they open and read the 70% of the phishing emails. So we talked about the difference between spam and phishing. So people are identifying apparently the difference between the two because phishing tends to be a little more real, whereas spam and those junk emails, you could tell they are salesy kind of stuff. Phishing is a little bit different. More than 50% of those who opened those spear phishing emails, and we'll talk about those in a minute, spear phishing emails, actually clicked on the malicious link within an hour of that email coming into their box. So spear phishing is a phishing email, but it's just like a tip of a spear. It is targeted to you. So it may have your name in it, or it might have your organizational name. It might have something about your church or whatever. So it's targeted towards you specifically, or your organization, or a group that you're with. So it might be some social group or something like that. So it's very targeted email. And so that, therefore, it looks a little bit more real. And so those are more highly effective, those spear phishing campaigns.
All right. So my first question is on a personal scale, not on the business end. You mentioned spear phishing being a little bit more of a direct approach. How do they know in my personal life, how do they know I use this bank? How do they know I use this cell phone carrier? Like what way of, how do they spear phish on a personal scale?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's talk about the cell phone for a minute. How do they know which carrier? Because I've heard some of the email or the phishing emails that have targeted people. And they go, they knew I knew Verizon. They sent me an email that said, your Verizon account's going to be turned off or, renewed or whatever. How'd they know I use Verizon when there's so many? Was it just by chance? Was it accidental? Or what was it? And it wasn't. It was, they did know that you used that particular carrier. And one of the ways you can do that is, it's amazing what you can find on the open network today on the internet. I can Google your name, and if I'm halfway decent, if I Google you, and I know you're in Tupelo or whatever, but if I Google you and I'd start looking, there's all these pages that come up showing your phone number, and it may mask part of it. But then if you take that and look over to the side, a lot of times it'll say Verizon or say Sprint or whatever. It'll tell you who the carrier is of those phone numbers, which is scary, but people don't think it's no big deal. Sometimes it'll tell you, oh, this person's associated with these individuals, and so I've Googled myself and it shows my sister, my brother, it shows my cousins and, different things like that. My kids are associated with them. So a lot of that stuff is open source. Now you can find it on Google. Google's a great tool to do a lot of things, but it also opens us up for risk. So people can find a lot of stuff just open source. We share some of that, but so does the, when you go buy a house. I mean, I Googled somebody the other day I was talking about, and I just Googled it. You know what the first thing came up? They had just bought a house 3 months prior, and it had their address, and it said this person bought, and it had the price they paid. I don't know why that would be on there, but it was on, Google, and there's this thing. It was a Northeast state in the Northeast, and it listed everybody, and I mean, they were just posting that stuff publicly.
I think all of that's public record.
That's what I'm saying, but I mean, it's
like I can go to our local downtown and see say, it. Hey, this address. I want to know who has this.
Who has it? Yeah.
We used to do that for hunting, finding land to hunt on when we were growing up.
Okay.
So you go ask the property owner. You can go find out what they pay their taxes on that property.
Gotcha.
You go find out all that.
See, yeah, and so because now you don't have to physically go in, you can just do it online. And so, yeah, it's a lot of stuff from the government, from our personal selves. We've put stuff out there. The government put stuff out there. I mean, it's on the open source. So it's really easy to find a lot of that stuff. Phishing attacks occur every 11 seconds worldwide, every 11 seconds there's a spear phishing, or I mean a phishing attack. 3.4 billion phishing emails go out every single day. 3.4 billion. And so when you think about that massive amount that goes out, it's just statistically people are going to click those links or the attachments. And so let me just say this. I get this question a lot. What if I just open the email, right? Does that bother me? Or do I have to open the attachment or click on that malicious link? You opening the email alone should not bother you. Now, there's some of my security, brothers and sisters in the industry might argue with me because there has been in the past some of those where you open it up and it does some things, but that's very, very rare. And I have never seen it in 25 years I've been doing this. So it's very rare. It's just not something I would worry about. You can open it, see what that email's about. And then when you look at the misspellings, you look at the poor grammar, because a lot of times these actors are foreigners, they're in foreign countries and they don't have good grammar. But it is funny though, I was also reading in this study that they did, a majority, the dumber the email, the more misspellings and the worse the grammar is, the more likely somebody's going to click on it. Can you believe that? They're going to interact with it. It was just wild. It's like when it's really good, they question and go, really? Oh my God, they're going to, but like the one yesterday, it was poor grammar, poor spelling. It didn't come from our HR and yet everybody freaked out about it. Whereas if it would have looked like it came from our HR and it had good, they'd go, what? They would go, this doesn't make no sense, right? It's just really strange how our psyche works, right?
Okay, so if I have an email that comes in, and let's say I use Nubank, and I get an email from Nubank.com, and it says my account's been compromised, they got my bank right. Let's just say that they've even got my name, my first name. How do I go about checking, has my account been hacked? What's the best practice? If I can't click in the email, what do I do? How would I find that?
Yeah, great question. So what you would do is you would not interact with the email. And even if the email says, call this number, right? Don't even look at that number. If you have a bank that has an app and you have that app, you could go there. Or you could just completely get out of that email. Don't even look at the email. Don't look at that email or that phone number or whatever. Go on Google and find the real website, right? Nubank.com. Go don't click on their link to see their whatever. Go to Google and find them and then call that number that's listed on their website. So if you have your insurance card in your phone or your bank card in your phone, in your wallet or on your phone or whatever, if you've interacted with them before, find the real number and call them directly and tell them who you are and tell them you got this email. Like for me, I use.
I'm going to cover up Phil's bank names here for some privacy.
Say it immediately says, I see you're calling from a number, a phone number that's on your account. And so then if there's any alerts, it immediately says, please hold, there is an alert on your account. And so a lot of banks will already tell you. And so I've had it before where I've called them and said, hey, listen, something's not right. And they will say, let me look up your account. Everything looks fine on our end. Just ignore it, right? Or delete it. And they'll tell you. I did want to bring this up too, because there's different terms, and you may go out there on Google and you see different terms around phishing, or I just used another one called spear phishing. There's different ones, whaling and all kinds of stuff. Don't worry about all that. I like to keep things very simple. I'm just a simple farm boy from West Texas, what I always say, and I like things simple. Just call them all phishing. They're all just trying to fish you. They're all trying to get you to bite on something. And so no matter what it is, they're trying to trick you. And so when we use that broader term, if you allow me to use a broader term of phishing to talk about all of it, or social engineering and all of the aspects, then I would like to bring in social media, because there's a lot of people getting taken on social media. They're getting duped on social media as well. So it doesn't matter if it's just email. Phishing, typically we think about email, but they go after you on social media as well. It's not just an email. They go after social media accounts. They could go after you on a phone. It's called phishing, but they can call you. They can send things through the physical mail, all kinds of stuff. So you do have to be careful even on social media. People will say, how in the world did they hack my, social media or whatever? They're going after your credentials and different things like that and get into that, but they can get you on social media just like they do with emails. So be careful, because I do get those as well. I get people reach out to me, try to be my friend, or they send me a message on Messenger or an Instagram, Twitter, different stuff like that, private, trying to connect with me. And, you know, you just need to look at their profile, try to do some investigation. If you don't recognize it, just like an email, if you don't recognize it or it seems a little odd, don't interact with it, right? Just ignore it.
Cool. And switching from personal to business, a friend of mine on Facebook actually put up a new thing that he works at for a educational institution, a college. He was completely floored by having to go to a meeting just about phishing emails for the college, but thought it was insanely cool whenever he came out, all the measures that their team was taking, as well as he really enjoyed that they are doing a phishing campaign internally with his business. As a user, he thought that was insanely cool, and it kind of made it a game for him to, is this phishing, is it not?
Right.
And if it is, did it come from us? Did it come from outside? So, I mean, would you say that's the best practice for, again, just for other organizations, regardless of what industry you're in, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, the industry best practice is you do a phishing campaign internally once a month. So you're supposed to send something out at least once a month, if not once a quarter. We do it once a month, and you know, some users do find it fun, and we, in October, we do, that's Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and we do it, and we do three of them that month, and we tell everybody, hey, we're going to be sending out these phishing emails, and we try to make it a game, but we don't tell them the rest of the time. And it's important to note, especially for those who are working for us, to note, and I try to tell people, we don't do it to try to catch people so we can go, you know, whack on them or write them up. We send it out once a month as a gauge to look at benchmarking. So we like to say, according to organizations across the globe, what is the click rate, right? And so, like, for instance, yesterday, one of my security analysts was going through the numbers, and globally, click rate for the customers for the tool that we use, their customers was a 5.25%. So 5% of their users are clicking that link or that attachment. In healthcare, it was 4.89%, I think, percent. And so for us, it was 0.9%. So very, very cool that we are well below not only industry, but we're well below healthcare and click rates. And so, you know, it's one of those things where measurement is important, because then we know if our education's working. So that's really why we're doing it. So those of you at North Miss who get frustrated, go, well, why would y'all even try to trick us like this? You know, that's not what we're trying to do. It's not trying to trick. And number two is we also, and by the way, a lot of companies, Chase, you mentioned, is it best practice? Best practice to do that, but it's also important for you to identify those repeat offenders, right? So those people who continually click to see, hey, maybe there's some education they need. Maybe they didn't get the education. Maybe they haven't done those health streams, or maybe they didn't go through NEO because they've been here for 10 years and we haven't been doing those. We didn't do it back then. Maybe we need to sit down with that group. And so I've had one department where, well, actually I've done 3-4 now, where you know, I contacted the supervisor and said, hey, listen, you've got this employee that's done it a couple of times in 6 months, right? So maybe we need to sit down with that employee. And that supervisor said, you know what? I'd rather you just come talk to my whole department. So at 7:30 in the morning, I went and sat down with that entire department and spent 20 minutes. I did another one at lunch for 20 minutes and just talked to the whole team and gave them a quick 10-minute discussion and then had a 10-minute Q&A session. And like you said, a lot of them walked away and went, this is awesome, right? They didn't know some of that information. So it's not about, you know, punitive. It's more about education.
Well, 0.9% is pretty good, but all it takes is one, right?
That's exactly right. That's what the executives of this hospital, that's all they were. Whenever I try to tout and get excited about the less than 1%, they remind me it's less than one. You know, all it takes is one. And they're right. And all it takes is one. One person clicking that email or clicking that link, open that attachment, that malware drops, and then that sophisticated weapon, it spreads like wildfire across the internet, or the network. So you may be saying, well, how can I identify, you know, what a phishing email is? How do I know? I'm going to go through a couple of the most common things you can look for, and then at the end, I'll tell you a place you can go where we've got some resources for you to look at actual phishing. We've screenshotted some real ones that have come in, and we've kind of circled and did some highlights and some arrows and that sort of thing. I'll give you some resources you can go look if you want physically. But one of the things is yeah, obviously they're asking for personal information. And you may say, well, a lot of things do. Your bank shouldn't be asking for personal information. You know, the lawyers aren't going to ask you for personal information over email and that sort of thing, over social media. They're just not going to do that. Your bank's not going to misspell their own name. That was one somebody reported the other day, and it was from a bank, and the bank email, it was misspelled. I promise you, they're not going to make that mistake. It's not going to happen. If they do, you need to change banks. I mean, they're that bad. They're just not going to do that. So requesting personal information over social media or email or phone, just not something that legitimate companies are going to do. And if your company does it, by the way, you should have that conversation, because it's just not good business practice. Generic greetings. Or lack of greeting. Sometimes you'll say, hello, you know, and that sort of thing. It'll say, you know, customer, you know, user, employee as the greeting. Very generic thing. That should let you know then it's a widespread thing. It's not real. Again, we talked about misspellings or poor grammar. That's usually indicative. Unofficial in the from email. So if you go look at the from email, that is a number one giveaway. Don't look at the display name. Sometimes you can see somebody's name there and it looks like somebody you know or whatever. They can change that. But the email itself, where's the email itself coming from? So if it says it's coming from, if you think the email's coming from, they're making it like it's coming from Bank of America or from, you know, Sony or whatever you're dealing with, your kid's school, go look at the email. And if that email doesn't match that entity or that person that you're dealing with, it's probably a scam. It's probably a phishing email. Unfamiliar web pages. So, you know, if it redirects you, sometimes you click on the link and it doesn't drop malware directly, but it sends you somewhere to quote unquote log in, and it's asking you for your credentials. And that's where they harvest those credentials. Like for Facebook and stuff, sometimes they'll have your link and you click on it in the email and it redirects you to a page that looks like Facebook, and it's asking you to log into your Facebook account. And that's when they're capturing your username and password for your Facebook. And that's how they hack your Facebook. Because you clicked on something in your email. So those unfamiliar, when you get to that page, look at it and go, this doesn't look real. I had one of those myself. I'm not immune to this. I clicked on one and it redirected me to what looked to be Facebook, but when I looked at it, it didn't look right. And so just be careful about that. So those are some common things you can look for. You know, I'll just jump real quick and just say, we have a website, cybersecurity.nmhs.net, cybersecurity.nmhs.net. On that website, if you go there, at the very top, there's a button that says Fish Market. A little play on words there, Fish Market. So you click on there. There's some blog posts about phishing, social engineering, some of the things we were talking about today. But there's also a tab on top of Fish Market called Catch of the Day. And you click on there, and there's some fish there. You can look at those different emails that we've collected where people have reported, and then we've put some information there. So check those out.
And those resources you mentioned are actually pretty good. I finally broke down and put AVG on my MacBook, and we all know how I feel about Macs are superior anyway. So I'm not exactly shy about that. But I did go on your website, checked out a few of the resources you had, and wound up with that one. It seemed to interact with my system pretty well. And it does everything I need it to do for free.
Good. Yeah, absolutely. And we can do that on another podcast. Anything you guys want to hear about, let me know. But it's one of my pet peeves, and you know, Chase knows this. I've said this before, but one of my pet peeves is people paying for antivirus. By the way, most of those are given to you for free. The companies have to give it to individuals free. Most people don't know that. There are paid versions. Nobody says you don't have to pay for it, but you can get a free version of it, and the free versions are just as good as the paid versions. A lot of times the paid versions have some widgets and gadgets and some, you know, pretty flowery stuff, but definitely have antivirus and some of the basic firewall stuff on your computer to make sure that they're secured, and we have some of those resources, as Chase was alluding to, on our website to go check a look. Those are not all end-all be-all. That doesn't mean that that's the only ones out there. It's just a few we recommend. Also a great website, but let me just plug for that website. It'll be in the description down below. So our website will be linked there. Last thing I want to talk about is the why. Usually when I do talks at conferences or for our new employees here at North Mississippi, I always talk about why first. I've saved it for the last, but a lot of times that's the most important question. It's why should I concern myself? Why is understanding the risk of phishing important? More than 90% of all cyber attacks, begin with phishing attacks. So if we don't understand that tactic, if we don't understand what phishing is, then we've just lost 90% of the battle. Understanding phishing, because it's 90% of all cyber attacks began with phishing. And I'm going to talk to my healthcare department for a moment, company here at North Miss, but wider audience around the globe. Healthcare has become number one in cyber attacks, more than other industries, more than retail, oil and gas, and other critical infrastructures. And it's because we don't understand the threat. We don't understand what our value is, but we also don't understand phishing. And so we're really trying to do our best here at North Miss to understand that. So those employees here at North Mississippi Health Services on HealthStream, of course, there's all sorts of free training. We've got some videos out there, by the way, that are 30 seconds long. 30 seconds. That's not very long, but it's really good and meaty. 30 seconds, 1 minute long videos, some 2 minute long videos and 3 minute videos on phishing, but other things as well. All kind of, how do I protect my cell phone? How do I protect my children online? All kinds of a cool video. So go check those out on our website. But it's important that you understand that protecting your family, protecting your own personal finances, protecting your own devices at home, protecting your department here at work, if you just think about everything gets shut down, so many breaches. And this is not, by the way, some sci-fi in the future or someplace way far off. North Mississippi, I'm just going to air this out right now. North Mississippi, we get targeted all the time. We're not immune to this. Some people have said in the past, I've heard security people, I've heard CIOs and other leaders have said, oh, let's not talk about it publicly because then that's going to make us a target. We're already a target. Let's just get it out there. We're a target, and we're a target here at North Mississippi. And we see those attacks on a daily basis, the attempts of hackers trying to get into our organization. So we have to be vigilant every single day of the week. And I just encourage each and every one of you to go out to HealthStream, check out those resources I mentioned, but also check them out for your personal self as well. There's on cybersecurity.nmhs.net. Check out those resources we have there. Check out the HealthStream resources. And at any time, you can reach out to us. There's a contact us button on our webpage. You can reach out to us. You can reach out to me by email. Any questions? There's no dumb questions. I'm telling you, we need to be educated. So appreciate you guys listening today. If there's anything else, please let me know.
Thank you for listening. We are here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helps you understand what connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Castos for more episodes.